want to speak to you briefly about the explanation of this parable, which is considered to be the first of all the parables Jesus told. And there is much message here, much more than I think most people are used to seeing. You might ask the question why Jesus would speak in parables at all. He gives the reason for all his parables in this particular one. And he says, well, let me quote the scripture. As he said these things, he cried out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And then he explains further when they ask him why he speaks in parables. He says to the disciples, "To you it is given to know the kingdom, the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." What he means to say is, in the first instance, he says, "He who has ears to hear," etc. He is speaking of those in the crowd. Remember, we're talking of his speaking to several thousand. He's speaking of those in the crowd who, even though he is speaking in riddles, even though they do not fully understand what he is talking about, some of them will realize that there is something here that they need. There is something that he is saying that they must understand, and therefore they must stay with him until they do. But referring to those who will listen and it will not strike a resonant chord in their hearts, of them he says, "Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." He's saying that probably the larger number will hear his parables or hear anything that he would say, and they will not respond to it. Because, for one thing, they will not respond to it. And for another, because they will not respond to it, they do not have that extra grace whereby they might understand it, or at least have an inkling of what he's saying. He speaks in parables, you should understand, because God does not waste his grace. And so he's giving them a little. If they will take that, then he will give more. But if they reject this little, that is all they will receive. Now, he talks about the varieties of people who will hear his message, and they will hear it not only from his lips, but through all generations. And there is a certain gradation in the way he describes this. He says there are some who are like the wayside. And those by the wayside are they who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now, understand that everyone who is ever born hears something about Christ. Everyone. And the reason they do not respond to him is that they allow the devil to come and take the word out of their heart, and he insists that they may not believe and be saved. Which is to say, they must believe if they are going to be saved. This to refute those who imagine that there are some who will be saved without any faith, without doing anything, who will be saved by virtue of their ignorance of all of it. No, he gets the word to everyone. He gets something to them. And with that, they're supposed to build and to search and to find out all they need to know. And then he speaks of those who are like the rock. The seed falls on the rock, They receive the word with joy, but these have no root. Meanwhile, or rather, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. This is those who receive the word, they actually come into the church. I know in my own experience, and every priest can tell you this, how not infrequently there are those who come, and they listen with interest, but then they fade out of the picture. And also we see that there are those who are baptized, and sometimes while they're young, they show great potential, they show fervor, and they show that they love the religion. But as they enter into the freedom of young manhood or womanhood, and they taste the freedom which their parents allow them or which their age grants to them, they wander off and they find delight in the world, and often they do not come back ever. Or they marry out of the church and they cannot bring themselves to break this, or it may be something else. You notice that when Jesus speaks of these, there is not a little sadness in the sound of his voice. He says that they fall away. And then he says that there are those who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruits does not ripen. Now we are in danger of being in this category. We are in danger. We have the word. We know the truth. And we know of others who have the truth. Notice, please, what he says is the cause of their losing out. Notice the order, the cares, and riches, and pleasures of this world. Now, the cares, of course, are those very things that a man has to have charge of. They're his responsibilities. He has to see to them. They are the necessary tasks that he is assigned due to whatever, his vocation. His family, he has to see to. His financial concerns. And yet Jesus says that these very things, the very things that he has an obligation to see after, can be the cause of his losing, because he makes too much of them. He allows them to dominate too greatly his heart and his attention. And they are an excuse to him for not being what he ought to be. Only after he mentions these necessary things does he mention riches. I don't know whether you are aware of it or not, or whether you have observed, but how rarely it is that a priest finds a wealthy, saintly person. Very rare. And you can see that they develop what's is referred to as PVP, pocketbook protection. They are so used to guarding their money, they guard it against Christ also. They guard it against anyone who would take it or anyone who would threaten it. And because this money, which was granted to them by God as a blessing, because they are afraid of losing it, or because they have gotten a momentum and must always increase it, this which was a gift becomes an encumbrance. It weighs them down and it oppresses them. It keeps them from being free, so that the time that this money might grant them to seek God in prayer, they spend seeking more money and worrying about losing what they have. And lastly, the pleasures of life. He's not talking only about licentiousness. He's not talking about total wantonness. He's talking about anything that gives us pleasure, anything that we might use as an escape. And we all are in danger of succumbing to these. anything that might cushion us from his cross, or might keep the grasp and the grasp of Christ and his demands from us. We are in danger, all of us, of finding an easy way and of protecting ourselves from those things which reveal to us the stringency, the acidity of Christ's demands. I say, of course, that he wants us to be holy. He does not want us to be comfortable. He does not want us to fare well in this world. He does not want us to be like others. He wants us to be concerned for him primarily. And he wants us to be aware of even the ordinary comforts, the things that we imagine are natural to us or are our right. And then with joy he remarks, but upon good ground, that is, those who, with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast. Notice that. Hold it fast. We remark that because few there are nowadays who hold fast to that which is the truth. They let the siren songs of the propagandists, the new and easy way, which offers them pleasure, which offers them no controversy, which offers them perfect sociableness with all those other beliefs, which offers them comfortableness in this world, they are the ones who are willing to sacrifice, and they lose their grip. We say it to you, my dear people, because we're all liable. And Jesus says that only those who hold fast will bear fruit in patience. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.